Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us in a studio is Rabbi Shalom Hammer. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you
good
doing?
Good morning to you, Howard. Thank you very much for hosting me.
So this is not your first time in South Africa, is it?
That's correct. From my greeting, how's it? You can
how's it?
Know
yeah.
that I'm a regular.
Yeah, he's completely bilingual. Well, to a Talach in his own way. But this conversation and the mission that you are on is one that is very personal to you, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Of course. The mission began, unfortunately, from the tragic catastrophe of the loss of our daughter, Gila, at the age of 18, to suicide. And basically when someone, no one should ever know, but we do, but when someone is cast into such catastrophic consequences, they have to ask themselves, what am I going to do? Am I going to fold up shop and no longer continue to live in the face of such travesty? Or am I going to take this loss, this death, this pain, to a positive place in as much as possible? And that's what we decided to do. And through Gila's way, yes, very much, we take it to a positive way of saving lives and preserving life and teaching people and educating people about how to help those who are in crisis.
How long ago was this? How long has this, have you been involved in this?
Gila died tragically a little over 4.5 years ago. And I started Gila's Way, really, I mean, basically almost immediately after she died, after our Shiva mourning period. But officially, Gila'sWay.com, officially the organization, which is a recognized Israeli organization, started really about a little over 3 years ago.
So is the fact that this has become a mission, does that imply that perhaps Gila's, and I'm sure that's a torturous thought, maybe it can look at other people, but that there are a lot more preventable cases or there are a lot more tragic outcomes than there need to be?
No doubt. No doubt. One of the main messages that I consistently disseminate is that suicide is preventable, and that most people who die from suicide do not want to die. The problem is they find themselves in crisis, they find themselves in a deep, dark place of despair, and they're just not sure how to get out of that place. And the only, the only foreseeable solution for them is to end their lives. This means that if we are capable of showing them a spark of light or a glimpse of hope, we are absolutely capable as well of saving their lives. That's not the case in all cases, obviously. There's no medical technology and no medical procedures that are foolproof. People die. But the more we're educated, the more we know about things, identify signs, and know how to approach people who are in crisis, we are absolutely capable of saving their lives. And I've done it a number of times, and our organization has done it many times.
A couple of months ago, there was a significant rise in suicides in the community here in South Africa. I started to speak about it and was told by a number of people that I shouldn't be doing so because talking about suicide actually in some strange way encourages it. And that left me in a very frustrated position because it felt like a little bit of denial. It felt like we were sweeping things under the carpet because sometimes communities like to do that. But actually, I didn't know perhaps if there was truth to that.
It's an absolute outstanding myth. It's completely untrue.
Wow.
There is something in psychology which is called contagion, which means comes from the word contagious, obviously. And if people hear about someone who died from suicide, and they themselves find themselves in a crisis and in an uneducated environment, they themselves can be encouraged to do so, or they can entertain the option more. However, it is absolutely proven that the opposite is true. The more we engage, the more we speak, the more we dialogue about the word suicide, which should be used publicly, and is starting to be used more worldwide, the more we can lower the rates of suicide. Psychologists today who know what they're talking about, they say the best way to lower the rates of suicide is education about it, dialogue about it. Look, Howard, you and I remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, our parents and grandparents never mentioned the word cancer. It was a taboo, but it was ridiculous. The more that we spoke about cancer, the more treatments are available and the more people are saved. Now, there are people who still die from cancer, obviously, but we speak about it, we dialogue about it, and we learn more about it. And it's the same exact thing with suicide. The more we speak about it, the more we are capable of saving lives. We just ran a campaign in Tel Aviv on Tuesday night, the night before I came here. It was International Suicide Prevention Day. We ran a whole campaign of Gila's Way in the heart of Tel Aviv. And the main theme and bumper stickers that were given out was the more we speak about suicide, the more we lower suicide.
Okay, so I now have at least...
By the way, I just want to mention that last night there was a fellow at my lecture, gave a lecture for professionals last night through Sheila Furman, through the Chevra Kadisha. She arranged everything. She's incredible. And the fellow came over to me and said that he tried to start, he's a professional, okay, therapist, and he tried to start a WhatsApp group with professionals about suicide, to speak about the concepts of suicide, how we could learn more about suicide, helping people for suicide. He said that normally on his WhatsApp groups on other issues regarding mental health, he gets about 200-300 signups and people who converse. On this WhatsApp group, he had only 20 people, which means that even within the mental health professional groups in this country, there are people who are still hesitant to or afraid of approaching the issue of suicide, and that's a terrible mistake.
Well, it's certainly my experience that I'm very rarely pressured into keeping quiet on any subject, much to whatever.
You and I can get along well.
but in fact, I was worried because I certainly don't want to do anything responsible. You know, we always have this conversation. We're here to act in the interest of the community, not just about things that are interesting to the community. So I don't want to talk about things unless it is really of value. And being told that well, the more I talk about something like this, the more potentially I'm causing, or we're potentially causing other people to look at this as an option, was quite a powerful way of silencing the conversation. Why do we need to silence it? Why can't we have these conversations without such enormous fear?
Well, I mean, look, what I'm saying is that we don't need to silence it, just the opposite. We need to speak about it, and we should not be silencing it. We should be speaking about it. The reason why people are fearful about it is because people in general, we have a human instinct to embrace life. People are afraid to approach subjects that have to do with death. Death is a frightening thing, but that's exactly why we do need to speak about suicide, because the more we speak about it, we're actually preserving and saving lives and not the opposite. So that's a very, very important message to disseminate to your audience.
We're going to be back just after we take some ads. I'm chatting to Rabbi Shalom Hammer. He's founder of Gila's Way. He's a lecturer and educator. And I'd love your thoughts on 061-895-1019. Do you find that suicide and mental health, as it relates to people in a crisis, is something that we are able to speak about, or do we have a long way to go? It's 8:21.
High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's 8:22. I'm Howard Feldman. Joining me in studio, Rabbi Shalom Hammer. He's founder of Gila's Way. He's a lecturer, he's an educator, and he's in South Africa to talk about suicide, raising awareness. Rabbi Hammer, the issue around assisting people when they're in a crisis, is there protocol? Is there a step-by-step way to talk somebody off the metaphoric ledge? Or is this very much dependent on the situation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are methodologies and methods and education on how to help someone in crisis, how to approach them. the body language you should use, the verbal skills you should use, the questions that should be asked, the questions that should not be asked, the things that should be avoided. Absolutely. And that's what we teach about in our seminars. That's what we're doing here. We're running a number of seminars on suicide prevention. We gave one last night for professionals, mental health professionals, in the Chevra Kadisha. Mm-hmm. We gave it there in their auditorium, and we had a very full audience. Yeah, absolutely. People need to know and learn how to approach someone who's in crisis, what to say to them. And by the way, it's not only with regards to someone who's suicidal. People who are dealing with and suffering from mental health and mental illnesses also need to know how to be approached, what to say to them, what not to say to them, what how to be practical,
and
not
to make false statements. How to recognize it.
Absolutely.
Because we don't want
identifying the signs.
You know, we don't want to be asking our teenagers once a week if they're having suicidal thoughts, but we do need to recognize. What are those
you
signs?
Also, by the way, don't want to be asking them that question after they already have them. So everything is about being preventative. So when you recognize some of those signs of depression or of anxiety and something is beginning to, you know, to come up, then that's the time that you want to nip it.
Mm. What are the signs? What are we looking for?
Look, I mean, basically mental illness is defined as someone who can no longer function in the capacity that they're expected to be productively. So when you see someone who's starting to be exhausted or no longer cares, no longer showing up, physically they look unkempt, socially they are withdrawn, those are major signs of someone who is experiencing some kind of difficulty. Now, to get an official diagnosis, for whatever it's worth, of depression, you need to be exhibiting 5 to 6 signs for at least 2 to 3 weeks. But you can see in your colleagues, your friends, certainly your family, your children, hopefully, your spouses, you can see when they're just starting not to function. They're not getting out of bed. They're not sleeping, or they're sleeping too much. Exhaustion kicks in. They can't function on a regular basis. And social withdrawal is a very, very big tell and indication that someone is going through something. And that's really, for me, I always say that's a major red light. Let's understand, someone who's suffering from depression and a mental illness, the most blatant feeling that they feel is isolation and loneliness. So when someone exhibits signs of isolation and loneliness, that's when you really have to kick in and start saying, hey, something needs to be done. They need to know that I'm here for them, and we need to try and get them the appropriate help.
Are we seeing an increase, certainly in Israel and around the world, perhaps in Jewish communities around the world, following October the 7th?
So it's interesting that you asked that question. The answer is no. The suicide rates in Israel are pretty much the same. I'm not saying that's good. It's horrible, and every life is worth, you know, a world unto itself, 100%. But the point is that, no, there hasn't been a rise in suicides since October 7th. However, inevitably, everyone expects there to be a huge amount of trauma that's going to be creeping up whenever the end is, or whenever we see, you know, sort of a light at the end of the tunnel, which is difficult to say now. Look, my son just came out of Gaza, and his friend was killed right next to him 2 weeks ago. Two of his friends were injured, and in an explosion that was right next to him. Thank God he's okay, but Rahman al-Itslan, there were a loss of life right in front of his eyes. And inevitably, the army took him, you know, immediately for a day or two to speak about the trauma that he might have experienced or that might come up later on. So yes, there are many people who are going to be dealing with trauma, and Gila's Way is dealing and confronting those issues by implementing special programs to deal with war-bound trauma that inevitably is going to be happening.
Let's talk about Gila's Way. We have a few minutes left. Let's just give us a sense of what the organization is, what it does, and if people want to access some of the learnings, how do we do that?
Sure. Well, the main thing is to go to gilaswaycom, GILASWAY.com. They can learn everything on the website. Our main focus is education and information. My wife and I feel that we lost Gila, and she should be alive today, because we were uninformed. We were not educated enough regarding mental health, and certainly regarding the potential of suicide. So our issue, if you may, is information, disseminating, educating, informing. giving seminars, lectures. We give them all over Israel, including in the army, pre-military academies a lot, and also internationally in all communities throughout the world. That's what I'm doing here in South Africa. In addition, we offer a what we call Navigation to Salvation consultation service, whereby it's not for the person themselves suffering, but for the families who are experiencing someone who's dealing with mental health. It becomes very confusing and chaotic, and they need navigation help in order to get that person to assistance and to where they need to go for first base to get to be able to live their lives. So we offer that navigation service consultations for families. If people want to look us up, they want to contribute and help, that would be amazing. Everything we do is at Stucca, is a charitable, not-for-profit organization. I also have a number of lectures that I'll still be giving on Sunday in the community, and they could find out through Sheila Furman and through the Chevra Kadisha, who are sponsoring. I want to thank the sponsors of this. Thank Sheila Furman, who is outstanding. Their organization is outstanding. And I also have books that are available. There are 5 animated books that I wrote about Gila, all based on true stories, to teach children about empathy and kindness, with questions in the back. And they're outstanding. They're really beautiful books.
So if anybody is interested in that, they can SMS. They can message or WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. That's where we leave it. Rabbi Shalom Hammer, he is the founder of Gila's Way. He's a lecturer, educator, and is in South Africa to educate as much as possible. It's 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.